Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
And what's up, boys?
Hey guys, how you guys doing?
How you doing?
So good to be here. It's good to be here on this couch.
Thank you for being here with us. We are doing our listener question episode.
Guys, thank you guys so much for writing in.
Yes, thank you to everybody who sent in a question. We always appreciate hearing from y'all.
If you ask a question, it's not getting answered. It was triggering. Some of you, that is true.
Yes, apologies. We had a lot of questions this time around.
I'm actually worried about the one that we said we wouldn't answer, and I'm worried that person's like on an island and they're alone and scared. And
they need us.
Oh, maybe we should answer that one. Well, whatever.
Well, here's the deal. We had a lot of questions, more than we'll have time to get through, so apologies if we don't get to your question. It's not because we didn't like your question, it's because we didn't have time.
It's because we didn't like audiobooks. We don't want to talk about that.
Sorry, Issa. yeah, we had some people send boys clubs, we had some people send questions, so we'll do a little bit of both. We're going to do a random number generator is how we're going to do the questions.
For trans cues, right?
Okay, this is a trans cue. Okay, we're starting fresh.
What is something you wish someone had told you about transitioning? In other words, what's a relevant piece of info that doesn't get shared as much as it should?
Okay, thank you, listener, for writing this in. I'm assuming this is directed at Connor.
It does feel like when I would be a caddy for my dad when he would go golfing. It's like, you can't answer, you can't do this, but you can caddy.
But you can be around.
You can be in the cart eating a hot dog.
That's a great question. I think that's something I wish more people, I don't know, talked about, thought about. I think it's really important to have trans friends. I think that's something, obviously, that's not as like, accessible to everybody, but like to the extent that you can find community and put yourself out there, I think it's important to do that because I think it makes it a lot easier to transition when you have a support system that like not only is there for you, because obviously there's cis people in your life who can be your support system, but to have like actual trans people who like, and more specifically, if you can like reflect your exact like more specific experience. So like if you're a trans dude, if you can find other trans guys, I think that's like really cool. There's this camp. Oh, I'll put it in the show notes, and I promise I will. It's called, like, fuck.
I probably won't,
so let me find it right now.
Google it. Just Google it, everyone.
It's a trans guy camp that's, like, for trans guys.
Trans guy camp.
To meet each other. I think I liked it. Sorry, my TikTok just being so loud.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah.
If they had that for gay guys, it would be horrible. It would be so offensive.
It'd be Fire Island.
Oh, we do have that.
We do
right.
have a gay man camp.
I was on a gay cruise just months ago.
Yes, that was gay guy camp. Okay, here it is. It's called Camp Lost Boys, okay? I don't know to the extent that they have, like, availability this summer or whatever.
Yeah, that's just gorgeous.
But it's a camp for trans guys because the rate of, like, loneliness and, like, not to be dark, but suicide among trans guys is, like, really high. So, like, because they just struggle to make connection to find friends. So,
No, I'm nervous.
If you're looking, check that out.
It's crazy that cis gay guys are Peter Pan and then the trans guys are Little Lost Boys. Lucky you. That's cooler.
That's a group of folks. And who's Tinkerbell? Bisexuals.
Bisexual girls who grew up normal. And if the politics go south, they're going to be straight really fast. And no one's going to question it. Sorry. Sorry for bringing up the government. Sorry.
But yeah, thank you for that question. My recommendation or my thing I wish people talked about more, or wish I knew, is that, and I'm glad I found the community naturally, but I don't know that I would have thought about that had I been somewhere else in the world when I was coming out.
But here's the thing. We talked about this. We know a guy and a girl that met online mm-hmm. over Troye Sivan Tumblr.
Right.
So we're confident that you can find community on the internet.
Yes, yes. Get on Tumblr. Bring Tumblr back.
Tumblr back. People say Tumblr porn. Have you heard of Twitter porn?
Have you heard
Tumblr
of Twitter porn?
My Twitter is literally all like Joe Biden walking into a wall confused and gay guys naked.
Okay, next question.
Okay, the next question is going to go ahead and be...
we're doing a grab bag.
When are you coming back to Pittsburgh to play pool? I don't know.
Okay, that one maybe was directed at me.
Okay.
I don't know, but I had so much fun at Bottle Rocket. Connor and I would love to come do a boys club at Bottle Rocket. We'd love to come do a show there. So
we would love that because actually when I was 11, I went to a Pittsburgh Pirates game with my dad, and I had digestive issues and spent most of the time in the bathroom. And I feel totally vulnerable saying that. And now I'm aside, so...
You know, I've had many a digestive issue all over the place, so...
Can we cut... But if I... Oh my God, this one.
I'll never forget one time my mom...
You an editing project because I get too open. I said so much open stuff and the digestive issues was too
That's
far.
We're going too far. Well, I'll match their... I'll match it so that we can both have this. But when I
Grow
was...
up.
I'll never forget when I was in high school, my sweet mom made me a breakfast burrito, and then we and then we went to a soccer game, and I spent the entire game in the bathroom because something did not sit right with me.
God, you can't... That's really messed up.
And there's nothing worse than being sweaty on a public toilet seat.
Ugh.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm sorry this happened to you.
You know, I just wanted to match your
Did your mom know about it?
I think probably.
This is really gross, but my mom one time, she said that she was, when she was a Girl Scout, she got her period for the first time.
Tough.
And she's away at Girl Scout camp.
But no safer place to be than among your
girls. She's not going to be mad about this. She's not going to listen.
I don't think so. I just saw a TikTok today, though, that was like a picture of the Karen Keeping of You, the girl. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, so the Karen Keeping of You is a All-American, an American Girl doll book that they made. That's about, like, girls' puberty.
I literally thought you meant Karen.
No, the care.
Like it was going to be a Karen.
No, the care and keeping of you.
That's so sweet.
Yes, but it's, like, this, like, traumatizing book that all young people raised as women, like, had that is, like, here's how to put a tampon in. And it's, like, a little picture of a, like, a, not a picture, but, like, a drawing of a girl putting a tampon in. And, like, what happens if one of my boobs grows in fast and the other doesn't? And it's, I'm lopsided and, like, all this stuff. But I saw this video that's, like, me at 11 finding this book, and it's like James Charles being like, we are fucked and no one's talking about it.
That's really funny. They're not teaching the kids what they need to know.
No.
They never
are. I mean, they like were, but it was like this weird thing where it was like, oh, fuck. I just like have such a vivid memory, and obviously like my relationship to puberty was a little bit fraught for like trans reasons, but I remember being in fifth grade and like doing like the gender segregated like videos for the first time on puberty, and the boys coming out of there is being like, haha, we're gonna get hairy and like our balls are gonna drop, and I was like, we are gonna bleed. And I was just like,
that's wild.
This is just not even the same.
It really isn't the same. I'll never forget seventh grade Mrs. D. Horatio said, are any of you grown pubes? Raised his hand and was like, I am. And it's like, David, keep it to yourself. But Mrs. D. Horatio, no, she didn't say, is anyone getting pubes? She said, are you any of you experiencing these symptoms?
Wow. And he said,
I am.
I'm full bush under here.
Yeah.
Wow.
David, who was on my bus. I remember I used to, at that time, I jerk off to my imagination. Aww. And I miss that. I think that we should bring that back.
I've been, we might be cut this. I'm not going to say.
Which is whisper. No, don't say it.
We'll continue. Okay, this is the next question.
I think it's actually really nice to start building boundaries with this podcast. Any tips for starting comedy?
Go to an open mic.
You have to go to an open mic.
You have to put yourself out there. It sucks, but
you have to go to an open mic. And here's the thing. Not most people will be weird there, but like, I don't know if you've seen A Star Is Born. She wasn't surrounded by stars.
Yeah.
That's the point. You're Lady Gaga.
If you want to be the star, you have to put yourself among the people so that people can
no
see.
No one ever got found. Well, I was going to say no one ever got found in their living room, but I do actually think that may be untrue with this front-facing video community that
true,
we're having
that's
now.
True. Yeah.
You didn't. So.
If you want to be a live performer, I cannot recommend enough. I think also, like, if you want to be a performer, period, I think doing it in front of other people and getting that feedback live is really helpful, because obviously you can get feedback from front-facing videos on the internet, but, like, do you want to be looking
no,
at those
it's so
comments?
Stressful.
You know,
the only beautiful thing about what I don't like about front-facing videos versus a joke is that even if a joke is bad online, it's like, well, these people laughed at it and if they didn't, then why would I put it up? So it's like, well, you
right,
saw it was successful
right, right.
for what it was.
You already knew it was successful before you put it up, which
yeah.
is nice.
And
yeah.
what I'm talking about is my Harry Potter reel. And I just want you to know that everyone that shared that, all 22 of you that shared that, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you.
Embraces you.
Yes. This, the third beatitude is that.
Third beatitude is the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who shared Connor and Nico's reels.
Love you guys so much.
And but also, the kingdom of heaven is all of you at home listening. I promise you are in the kingdom of heaven.
Also, what I will say is not like, okay, like I can't talk a ton about transitioning, but I would say that similarly to, like,
can you talk, I can't talk a ton about it.
I can't even say the word, but like I would say that for comedy, I think community is really important.
Yeah.
Is a similar thing in that.
I agree. And I think that like, we've talked about this before on the pod, but like open mics do two things for you. One, they make you have to write jokes and have to perform live and have to like actually get up there and practice, because one of the hardest, people don't realize that, like, obviously writing jokes is a really hard part of stand-up, but learning to be on stage is really hard, and you have to just practice that. There's no way to get good at something other than doing it. It's like the 10,000 hours thing. Like, you just have to go do it. And the second thing, like Connor just said, is like, you will meet friends there. That's how we met. We met literally at an open mic. And look what we've built. An incredibly successful podcast where people ask us just such questions.
And you'll realize there, you're like, actually, you said everyone had to write jokes. I'm seeing most people aren't. We hear you, but we're talking about our children.
Yes.
Our boys are going to write jokes.
Yes.
Our boys are writing jokes.
Writing jokes, because that's the key. And
it's the boys' club way.
A lot of people can't do that. So if you can, you're in the kingdom of heaven too.
Those who can should, and those who can't will still go. and they're going to be up first and the loudest. Yes. They're going to do something. They're like, yeah, your friends like that in Pine Box Rock Shop, don't cut this. But no one in any place where a single person has ever even been in an office or known industry is going to laugh at this because it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Boom. Mic drop.
So have fun.
Okay.
So I would say the next question is, should I go on tea?
Now, are you asking that or is the listener?
Well, I would, but like, yeah, that might be offensive to say.
I don't even know what it would do to you, to be honest.
Well,
sex drive. I mean, the same things it does to me, I guess. Sex drive, muscle building, those kinds of things. But you don't really need help in those regards. And you would maybe lose hair. So I think you probably don't want it.
Shut up.
Yeah.
But you guys should still.
Asking the question, I think it's on your mind and certainly worth exploring. Obviously, it's different for everybody, and I can't give a one-size-fits-all for that. I think if you want to see your voice drop, if you want to have more muscle mass, if you want to have a higher sex drive, if you want to start feeling more like, I don't know. For me, I like being able to feel like when I look in the mirror, I see who I want to see, and who that is a man. So it really has helped me in that way.
When will my reflection show? Second time we brought up Mulan on the podcast. Not this time, just in
but,
the whole
I mean, she's
of it.
Always on my mind.
Yeah.
He, she, they are always on my mind.
that does feel like kind of
Damien and I were talking about how we love that movie as kids, and Issa was like, why? So earnestly. And I was like, Issa, take 2 seconds to think about why.
Did you see Motocrossed? I think you should.
Yes. And then the flips the hair out.
Yes.
Yeah. I've definitely seen that. That's like an old like Disney Channel original, right?
It's kind of like Mulan, but for motocross.
Yeah. I do remember that.
It's Mulan. It's also for motocross and also white people. And yeah, there probably would be MAGA today.
But they weren't in 2006 or whatever that was.
I'd say like 99. So early.
Yeah.
So early.
Before,
towers
ahead
up.
Of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't give a one-size-fits-all for that, but if you're asking...
But I think you should.
Yeah, why not? I have liked it, and I can only speak for myself. I've really liked it.
I know a lot of people that got a real glow-up from it. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if that's okay to say.
You definitely will. I mean...
But as a gay guy, that makes sense that I would say that.
True. My jaw structure has gotten sharper and stuff. I feel like my face has just gotten a little bit sharper. What?
That's my dream. I feel like I don't like that. I don't like the way that we're talking about tea through the male gaze. Feels inappropriate.
No, it's okay.
So he said it's okay. So put your sword down.
Put
your weapon down.
Put your weapons down.
Delete your comment.
And anyway, I can only speak for myself, but I think if you're thinking about it.
Also, did this person think we were going to analyze their page when they responded?
Like, I don't know. And give them like a rundown, like, yeah, you could use a little.
This thing you posted, I think it could really use tea.
Okay, our next question.
So the thing with the next question is that it's, are you still the gayest brother or have the other two upped their game?
I'm assuming that's for me. No, okay. How do you feel? Are you still the gayest brother?
Here's what I'm going to say to you. I love both of my brothers so much, and I worry that my relationship...
And they're both definitely listening.
They are not listening. You're right. They literally don't even listen. They don't even kind of listen.
So it doesn't even matter what we fucking say.
Interesting. Like, my older brother, I really love him, and I really regret not being closer to him already. Like, I think that'll be a deep regret at the end of my life.
But can I say something to you about this?
It's
not too late. I have seen my parents get closer, like, especially my mom, I think. Not that she wasn't close to her brothers when she was young, but, like, she was the middle of two brothers on either side, and I think like didn't feel particularly close to them as a child, and like even in her like teen years and like in college and medical school, like she was busy, but now as an adult she's like quite close with both of them.
My therapist said that when I was ready to come out and then my brother did come out, it was a pivotal moment, and that's why I'm sad now.
I agree with him.
So I was like, sir, write the show.
So who's gayer now?
This is okay. I think my older brother is very millennial gay.
Yeah.
And my younger brother, like, my older brother more is like, I don't mean this in a mean way, but it's going to come off mean. I don't mean it to. I think that he would maybe not like lesbians as much. And I did tell one of them that they can't say butch. And like, I was like, you're not involved with the lesbian community enough to use that.
Yeah.
Don't be mad at me at home. Don't be mad at me.
Sure.
We can, no one's names. It could be anyone's brother. It could be mine, actually. But, and then my younger brother is, so like my older brother, like, is like that, like kind of like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then my younger brother, I feel like, is probably closer to like a Gen Z gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're still in DC, so they're still like kind of.
So I feel like you are the gayest because you're in New York.
Yeah, totally. Like to be in New York, like you know who Chapel Roan is, you are following your dreams, you like don't have health insurance. Like it's a very gay place to be.
I saw a TikTok today. I've been on TikTok all day, I guess, but I saw this TikTok today that was like my 10 favorite US citizens. First one was Sabrina Breyer, shout out, former guest of the pod. Second one was Chapel Roan. I was like, I already agree with this list.
It feels like a huge day for this podcast. It feels like we were somehow adjacent to the list.
I adore her. Okay. So settled that. Some people should go on T, and you
That's
are the gayest
interesting,
brother.
An interesting list.
Okay.
Here's the thing. So the next question is, oh wait, no, because it's questions.
It's another trans question.
Hi, Connor and Nico. First of all, this is the long one. Love this already. First of all, I have to say how much I absolutely love the pod.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. M dash. It's the best part of my Monday.
Writers.
Sweet. And they are smart. And I tell all my friends to listen too.
Thank you.
My question is, are you transition? : I'm trans mask and hoping to start T soon. Probably a low dose to start out. It does say that.
Connor's suggesting.
Not commentary.
Connor is dosing everyone on the pod.
I've been socially transitioning for a while, but in terms of medical stuff, this will be my first step. I'm feeling super excited and also pretty nervous. I was wondering if you had any advice or tips for how to navigate this experience. Thank you so much for your thoughts and for making this great show, Heart. Y'all, I like that. Y'all are the best. Pretty line. Drew, they, them. P.S. I'm 28, if that's relevant. LOL, as Connor would say. Cut that. No, wait, keep it. Ha ha ha. Drew.
Wait, okay, Drew, we love you already. Thank you for writing in, Drew, and thank you for your question. First of all, congratulations. It's a big step, and you should be proud of yourself for even, like, socially transitioning and getting to this point, and I think you're going to love to medically transition. It makes the social stuff easier, too. I would say, I think, like, my biggest thing when I started was I was, like, so nervous about starting because I was like, oh, my God, like, maybe I'm not ready to change overnight, and I have good and bad news for you. You will not change overnight. It's a slow burn. It's a long process. A lot of the initial things that you feel are very, like, I remember trying to articulate this on stage where I felt like I could feel myself changing. Like, I could feel my sex drive changing. I could feel my hunger cues being stronger. I could feel, like, just different parts of me changing. I could notice my voice changing, but like the outside world doesn't necessarily notice those first things. Like even just like, I feel like I had a mustache for a while and people would like, are just now being like, oh my God, you have facial hair. And it's like, wait, I feel like I've had this for so long, but like, obviously I notice it before other people do. There's this one kid I coach and he goes, hey, you have a chin. 5 years old.
So nice.
You have a chin. I was like, yeah, you do too. Anyway, so I would just say, like, it'll be a slow burn
so funny.
And a long process. So, like,
if
don't
you can see my before and after pictures. Not a lot, a little.
But it'll take a while to, like, really see all the, like, fruits of your labor in that way. And so, like, don't, I would say just, like, be patient with yourself and be patient with the process. And also don't be nervous about it taking off overnight because it won't. But also, like, yeah, just be grateful in the day to day and know that you can start and stop and change your dose at any time. And if you have the ability to see an endocrinologist, I like seeing an endocrinologist. I'm also very lucky to be in a state where the care is not banned and that I can access that. So if that's your situation, just recommend it because it's always nice to have, like, I don't know. They don't know everything that goes. They just, like, haven't tested enough people over a long enough time with access. Like, the broad access to gender affirming care is relatively new, speaking from, like, how, like, medical studies can be over, like, decades. So, like, you know, it's just nice to have somebody who's, like, keeping up to date with, like, and not, like, getting it from, like, a for hims type of thing. So no shade if that's how you have to go. Everybody finds their way. But, like, to the extent you can work with a medical professional, I just recommend it.
But I have to Google endocrinologist.
They do hormone stuff. So, like, thyroids. She's at NYU, Dr. Gladowski. She's been fine.
Is she cool?
Yeah, she's fine.
That's really
she wears ally pins. I love her.
She's like Julia Roberts in A Normal Heart.
Yeah.
Have you seen A Normal Heart?
I haven't.
It's just like a movie about AIDS, but also about straight people. Like all the movies about AIDS how end up being about straight people. And I know that straight people get AIDS. I understand that, but I'm just saying that it's not totally
there. It's not the main story.
It's not like the narrative. Yeah, it's really.
Yeah. Also, thank you, Drew. Thank you for answering.
Drew, thank you for your really kind words. It was really sweet and nice. Which WNSL team do you root for?
You're going to have to go run that acronym back again. NWSL.
What did I say?
WNSL. The Women's National Soccer League.
I have dyslexia, and I used to work at a grocery store, which was horrible, and I would give change in kind of any order of the numbers. It'd be like 31-22, and I'd be like, here's 23-12, and have a nice day.
People are robbing this Aldi blind.
So here's the thing. Which NWSL team do you root for? Gotham or go home.
Oh, I love that. Did you make that up?
Yes.
Fuck yeah. Okay, branding that.
I should reach out to the gorgeous woman that runs her marketing, who's gorgeous, and yes. I met and I'm obsessed with, and she lives in Fidei.
Good for her.
And gorgeous. But that's not the point. And smart, I guess, I assume.
But also gorgeous.
I loved the people that worked there.
Yeah.
I was like Googling people left and right.
Gotham is our hometown team, so we love Gotham. They're the New York, New Jersey team. I will have to just say that I do have friends on Kansas City, Angel City,
LA,
Portland,
shout
Utah.
Out Madison. I said Madison crazy. Shout out Madison.
Madison Hammond, shout out for
we
the,
love you, Madison.
Madison Hammond for the Angel City FC. My friend Bailey Feist is at KC Current. My friend Hannah Bedford is at the Utah Royals. And my friend Ryan Brown is at the Seattle Reign. Am I missing anybody?
Seattle Reign.
Yeah.
I love the Seattle Reign.
R-E-I-G-N, Reign.
That's crazy.
Connor just lost it.
That's like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know the Taylor Swift song Midnight Rain?
Is it with an R-E-A?
It's about a... No, but it should be Taylor.
Taylor.
Maybe reconsider.
It have a says, look at the lyrics.
He only thinks of me when I'm on TV. Which is kind of like,
oh,
fuck him.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because that's all the time.
Yeah. But yeah, not to brag, I was I did play with a lot of those gals in college. So I have... my allegiances are to my friends and whoever's playing that day. But also Gotham.
I've said this before, but like I just think that women's soccer is the most important thing that we have. It is like... nice and happy and no one's weird or angry at me, and
yeah.
I think that is my favorite thing that's happening, except for that woman that I don't like, and you don't need to say, you don't have to take a stance on
she
her.
She unfortunately is on the Olympic roster, I think.
Carly?
Oh, Carly Lloyd?
Hope.
No, who is that girl on the Olympic roster? Or who maybe is on the Olympic roster, I can't remember, who said something maybe transphobic. We were talking about her recently. You said there's a new
Ernst?
One who's bad. No, not Julie Ertz. Julie Ertz seems fine.
She does seem fine. She just because she's hot doesn't mean she's bad. Sometimes hot people can be good. She's hot in a very conventional way. And sometimes that used to
and
be the best way to be hot.
Married to Zach Ertz.
Is he good?
He was an Eagles player. They seem good. They seem good.
Zach, we fucking love you. If Zach and Julie want to come on the podcast,
yes,
we'd we'll be
have
obsessed
you
with
on.
You. We'd be obsessed with you.
No.
Couples dates.
We do couples.
We're going out with a podcaster couple.
Couples dates, LOL. I don't remember. Anyway, but the Olympics is coming up and the U.S. women's national team will be playing for gold.
Alex Morgan is still here, right?
She's not on this team.
Oh, she didn't make it?
Well, no, she didn't.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think, I mean, like, I'm sure she's bummed, but she's also like, you know, she's been to many Olympics and many World Cups and she's done incredible things. She'll be one of the names that we remember for a long, long time. Like, she's a historic... you know, Olympic player and women's national team player, no doubt about it. I think she's just like, they're ready to move on to the next like generation of players and they need yeah. to give those players the time and the experience to be the ones like in charge of the team. And it's just like really hard when you have somebody who like a lot of these players have like watched growing up.
Survivor fans versus
exactly,
favorites.
Exactly. You can't do fans versus favorites and expect the favorites not to, or the fans to not be like, okay, I love the favorites so much. You need to give the fans their time to play. So,
Alex, if it makes you feel better, there is a gay guy in Brooklyn who only knows about you. You are this women's soccer league to me.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway.
You and Julie Ernst.
Yeah, okay.
So, Esther is randomly one that I've always liked.
Okay, next question.
So, the next question is, when are you coming back to Pittsburgh to play pool,
one.
LOL?
We already did that one.
Okay, specifically for Nico. Colon, any advice for someone who is just coming to terms with their trans identity in college? Feeling super nervous to transition when my life already feels so established and thinking about coming out to people who have known me throughout college feels so uncomfortable. Also, thank you for your candid conversations about your identity and experiences on the pod. It has helped me a lot in my own journey. Smiley face.
Oh, that means the world. Thank you. I'm so glad that this has helped anybody. I appreciate that. Yeah, well, the good news for you is that college is a time where you're supposed to explore yourself. So, like, it's, you know, it's a good time to start to, like, understand yourself and push those boundaries of where you saw your life going. I came out after college. I came out as a lesbian when I was in college, and then I transitioned after college. So I can't quite speak to the experience of transitioning in college, and I'm sure that's really tough because school is an environment that's very gendered, and even if schools are trying to like undo that, they're not doing a great job at it. So like I'm sure that it is difficult to participate in certain like, you know, general school, I don't know, stuff with transition. But, you know, it's hard. It's really hard to come out to friends, especially people who have known you for a long time. I remember feeling this weird thing where, like, I felt like people who knew me younger maybe didn't have as much of a hurdle with it because I was, like, a little boy, and then I had this, like, adolescence that was not as much that, and then I came out. And so anybody who knew me when I was, like, 8 was probably like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Whereas people who knew me last, being the most feminine I ever was, which was in college right up until I came out as a lesbian, like, probably were a little bit more like, oh, I didn't know that about you because I didn't experience you that way. So it can definitely be really tough. I don't know where you exist in your journey. Maybe if you are living as a straight woman right now, or a bi woman or whatever, and you're, like, about to do this kind of 180, I feel for you. If you're already out as, like, queer or a lesbian, it might not be that as far of a jump as you think it would be for people. You just have to... It's a leap of faith, and I'm sorry, I wish it was less than that, but like any coming out, it is a leap of faith, and if you lose people along the way, those people are missing out, and you know, you will only be able to build a brighter and stronger community. Like, I have been very grateful that my friends have been very, you know, it was a learning curve for everybody, but they've come a long way, and they're really, like, great friends to me still, and I have also made incredible connections post-transition that have, like, will be just as strong of friendships as those early ones that I had in college. So, like, you will make new friends if you need to, and I have no doubt about that. So just know that you will always have a community. You have to seek it out, and you have to be brave, and it sucks sometimes to have to be brave, but the only way out is through, my friend. So best of luck, and know that we are here for you, and that we will be supporting you from afar. And Godspeed. That the kingdom of God is for those who are in this boys' club.
You saying that in like a hat and a Nike shirt, it just felt so Christian, so fast. And it was like, this is...
When I said the kingdom of God is for you.
And when you said leap of faith, I really liked that. Leap of faith.
It is a leap of faith, unfortunately.
I don't know if this is helpful. We can undo it. And no one asked me for advice, and I totally understand why, and I agree with you. But here's the thing. Also, everyone in college, fuck them. I don't talk to those people. I don't see those people. One day you're going to wake up, those people are going to be gone. They're going to be so gone. You're going to be living your own life. Totally different person.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing...
Not different person, I mean, that way, but like, they're going to be gone.
Yes. I will say, I agree with you that the reality is, like, a lot of times in college, like, I'm still very close with my college friends, and I played soccer with them, so I had, like, a really, you know, interesting trauma bond with them, honestly. But, like, the reality is that, like, you'll move to wherever you move after college, and the likelihood of your college friends moving there, too, is, like, I don't know, it depends on what school you go to, but you very well could move on with your life in a couple years and not see them as often, and it doesn't matter what you get up to, because it's not their business. So, be true to yourself, and be strong in who you are, and that light will be reflected back to you. So, okay, next question. Thank you for writing in. The next question
is thoughts on platonic versus romantic relationships. I don't get this question.
Okay, love.
I was like, I don't get it. Are the lines as clear as we think? Did someone who has a crush on me write this? Did one of my friends write this?
Okay, I wrote this to you. Oh my God, what if that? okay, no, the lines are not as clear as we think. I mean, come on. We both had crushes on friends before. We know people have crushes on friends.
None of my crushes ever amounted to anything. One time I told a friend that I was in love with him, and he said, totally don't get that. And we're still friends.
Really?
Wait, no.
Okay, the lines between platonic and romantic relationships are blurry, especially in queer world, for sure.
Well, because I think with gay guys, actually... Okay, one thing Damien said that I think was really interesting is that he thinks that you should be able to be on apps for sex and not for dating.
I agree with that.
And that speaks so much. I think that's very queer to be like that sex and dating are like kind of, you can separate those things out from each other.
Yeah, I mean, it helps in queer world that like gender politics doesn't play a role. Whereas with like straight people, obviously the threat of like gendered violence and just like also the threat of like the gender stuff is just a little bit... weirder to navigate there in certain ways that, yeah, like, I could see that, like, straight women would not be into an app where they're just, like, going to hook up with straight men. Like, that sounds horrible.
I know. I tried to write a joke. It did so bad. And you guys might hate it, too, because I haven't worked on it since it did bad. That was, like, Grindr so weird because, like, that would never work for, like, straight people because, like, women are, like, not able to go, like, meet a man randomly as if I'm so different. Like, as if I'm so much more safe going into a random man's apartment. I told you, I showed up to a man's apartment, his dog, it was yapping. I said, I have a noise issue, I have to leave. And I said, and I walked, I didn't get past the foyer.
I love that. I love that you fully turned around before even entering the apartment.
The door never shut. Grindr is a really great way to see real estate, honestly, in New York.
I know, it should be like the Zillow app. It should be like LinkedIn, Zillow, and Grindr should combine so that you can have a full inventory of every gay man in this city.
Yes, yeah.
We'll
yeah.
call it Connor's app.
Yeah, it is fascinating. Connor's app. That sounds like
God,
I died.
If you, I know. If you had a what's it called? Like a software engineering ability, it would be over for everybody because you would make Connor's app.
Thank you for saying that. I just met a software engineer. It doesn't matter.
Okay. But yeah, platonic relationships. I mean, I've had crushes on friends. I have, of course, waded into those waters and been burned and drowned several times. The only friend to lovers situation that ever worked out for me is my current relationship.
I wonder if my inability to be... I think I have not very many male friends.
Yeah,
I can think of actually four. And I wonder if that is... that's interesting. So, like, I don't find that to be as much of an issue in my... life, but I think that I think that, like, I grew up at a time where everyone was like, oh, don't look at me in the locker room, blah blah yeah. blah, blah. It's like, I'm not having anxiety, I'm not gonna look at you. And I think that has made male relationships really weird for me in general, period, because there's yeah. this fear that it's gonna be like, oh, do you think that we're like that, this is like a weird thing? It's like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
my mom always says, why don't you date Michael Aber? And it's like, mom, can boys not be friends anymore?
Oh my Christ, why don't you date Michael Aber? The two of you, I cannot even imagine that relationship.
She's never even asked. Never showed any interest. So it's like, well, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think that you guys are the right pairing. No offense. I mean, it's just like, that's... Yeah.
No, we're not at all.
Yeah.
We'd actually kill each other.
I think so, too. Love to you both. Yeah, I mean, well, if you're... It sounds like maybe you're going through a situation, and yeah, those lines are blurry. So Godspeed, and we hope that...
You need to say that you have a crush on this person, because we know someone who just had a crush on someone and then told the person, and they felt a lot better. And I do think yeah. that it, like, you have to get it off your chest, because, like, if they say no, then it's great. Like the only way out is, I think it's the only way out is through situation.
It really is. I stand by that too, because I have a friend, a really good friend of mine, still one of my best friends to this day. And my like realization that I was queer was because I had a crush on her, and I like didn't understand. I was like, what is this weird friendship that we have? Like that I really like, I don't know. I feel like I have this like, and I realized I had a crush on her, and then I told her, and she is straight, and it didn't pan out to anything, but we remained friends, and we like, you know, I will say like we had to like take some time not talking to like let my, for me to have those like boundaries to like let my feelings subside and be able to move on from it. But like, we to this day remain like great, great friends. So it's like,
You got to shoot your shot.
And also like, listen, you know what? It really builds character to be shut down. And I think it also makes it easier to do it the next time, because you're like, I've done that before. And also makes everything easier, because like, I've looked somebody in the face and told them I really liked them and had them be like, that's not for me. And also, I'm not even gay. And you're like, fuck, okay, well, you know. So.
And you're like, you seem gay.
Then why are we so incompatible? But whatever.
So it's like, and also, I'm going to say this. How are you going to put it on the line if you never put it on the line? What's the Muna line?
How am I going to sign?
If you're never going to sign.
How am I going to sign if you never put it on the line for me? Something like that.
You need to listen to One That Got Away. And that is a song that they have. And
listen to Good Luck, Babe. Okay.
Yes. Also listen to Muna's entire live album. It was really incredible. My one question is, where was crying on the bathroom floor? That doesn't. You know what's interesting about me and our friend group is that I am not lesbian. I'm not non-binary.
You're not a WLW.
I'm not a WLW. I'm a man. I'm kind of a gay man.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't expect me to be. I think I'm the most Muna head.
You kind of are the most Muna head.
And that's because I'm
depressed.
Well,
Jesse's a big Muna head.
That's because
too.
I'm sad. So like, sadness can kind of move you over the line. And I think that's.
The W in WLW is for weeping.
Don't you think men that love Muna would be, I'm obsessed with those men. Those are my men.
You should go to more Muna concerts. You should follow them like the Grateful Dead and just find a man.
God, that's
yeah. I love that earlier when you said NWSL, you were probably trying to say WLW.
It was like projecting.
Okay. Next question.
Are you still the gayest brother, or have the other two
upset
you? Oh, we
did that one already. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
We're doing a random number
Can Boys Club solve the male loneliness epidemic?
God damn, are we trying? I mean, that's why we're getting you all together.
Our listeners are geniuses.
I know.
They're like naming epidemics we didn't even know about.
Well, I knew about this one.
You're so smart. Yes. Boys, you're smart.
The loneliness, you're so smart. The male loneliness epidemic is a crisis. I was just talking about it earlier with like trans men are not immune to it. It's like a, you know, men, and you were just talking about it, like not knowing how to, like male friendship is really hard.
Yeah, I hate it.
Because men are not taught to be forthright. They're not taught to be like honest and open with their feelings. They're not taught to like make friends in that way. I feel like also, don't you feel like a lot of guys, like a lot of straight guys are like, this is my best friend from when I was 12, and they're still friends to this day, and you're like, you
Julia
just never
Zen
learned to make
podcast,
another friend.
Julia Zen 4 years ago on this podcast said that men don't hold their friends to standards. And
exactly.
And then I'm also going to quote another artist, Savannah DeSarmo, had
love
a joke about
both of them
going on dates with men and realizing that they are weird. I'm not going to do the punchline. The punchlines are incredibly well delivered, and you should see her joke.
Yes,
but
seek her out. She's so funny.
They go on dates, and then she's a genius. They go on dates, and then they're like, have all this weird bottled up. She's like, oh, you don't have friends to tell this to?
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's a problem. I mean, there's so many, I think, straight women who are experiencing that like the only person in their boyfriend's life, they are the only person in their boyfriend's life who he opens up to, and like in any way. And it's like, you cannot put all of that on your girlfriend.
You can't.
You can't.
And I think I put a lot of it on my dad, and not in a bad way. I realize that with certain people where it's like, you don't have a dad to send this to. Sorry.
Sorry.
We have queer listeners who maybe aren't closer.
But also for your dad, maybe a therapist is a good person to put that on.
And that's why he's subsidizing my therapy. And my therapist is
He
great.
Said, I'll pay you to talk to anybody else.
And he's like outsourcing, calling in the National Guard
of
sorts.
Yeah, yeah,
My therapist named Ben, who's married and lives in Midtown.
And we love him. I mean, I don't know this. I think we should try to encourage the men in our life to seek friendships. And if you are a woman with a boyfriend, get him out making friends. So take him to, I don't know, send him. I don't really know how to solve it. It's hard to solve friendship. You know, I mean, the biggest thing we can do is just bring back more third spaces and stuff and invite. Who was I talking to? Sorry, I'm all over the place for a second. Remember we talked about this on the pod before.
You have an artist mind.
I'm going galaxy brain right now. Somebody was telling us about how they, was it maybe Marsha Belsky came on and told us about how she, like somebody had sold out a show. It was like one of those like alt-y kind of like alt-right pipeline comedy guys had sold out a show at Caroline's, which is an old like comedy venue here in New York. And all the tickets were individual sales, and it was all individual men coming because none of them had like, you know, dates or groups or anything. And I'm like, that is
terrifying.
It wasn't
terrifying. A gay model, me seeing an A24 film alone. This is different. And you're like, why is that gay guy sucking on a Tootsie Pop by himself?
No. It's fine to go see a movie. It's fine to go see a comedy show alone. I'm not saying
but
that. But when an entire room,
it's
that is now something to study.
It's a sample size.
Yeah, that's a sample
size.
Yeah,
that is really weird.
Yeah. So, but also I hope that those guys went to that and then talked to each other. And so my recommendation to any men who are feeling lonely is, yeah, like go to an event, but then also challenge yourself to talk to somebody.
It's hard to be a man.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to make guy friends. If you're gay, maybe it's easier. I don't know. You can go to do gay guy things.
Gay guy things. If you're in a gay group chat, no, just kidding.
Okay, next question.
14. When is the July show? Also, y'all should have a medium or something on for a reading. Shut up. I know. Wait, suddenly this person said two amazing things in
one
question.
First of all, the July show is Connor's Hour Icon that is on July 24th.
July 24th, Wednesday. It's going to sell out, not to be a bitch.
Yeah, it is going to sell out. And also, it's an amazing show. If you've not seen his hour yet, go see it. He's so talented and good. And
thank you for saying that.
It's always an amazing
time. This is an hour that'll be different than all the other ones because they change all the time.
Yeah, Connor's really good about continually like adding new stuff and
this one will only be funny because every other time I decide it needs to be emotional.
Yeah,
like I need to be like, and then I was sad, like, and then being gay was hard.
And you know what doesn't feel good up there is earnestly talking.
Wait, this is so fucked. I've been told that I need to write more about being a fitness instructor.
Oh,
and I was like that is interesting what you're saying. What I think a joke has to be is, and this is fucked up, and like this is not the version that can finish because it's offensive, but there is something that's similar about a solo show and a group fitness class where it's like a solo show, it's like jokes, it's normal, and then about 50% of the way through they're gonna be like, and then I was touched. Like literally every soul cycle class it's like, and then I was touched, and they're like, we are trying to ride a bike, this is not Edinburgh, like you need to stop.
I know. And then it's like they're recapping, they're like all of a sudden there's like a Catholic church music happening and you're like, I'm supposed to ride to this?
Yeah, it's very upsetting. No, and then there's an Oprah, it's a Tiesto remix with an Oprah quote. The quote is, When in doubt, I got really, literally, I can like think, there's an Obama remix. It's crazy. It's too much. There's this one instructor who keeps bringing up his sobriety, and I'm not, I'm sober and I respect that. I don't
like get a podcast.
I'm also nervous about it. I was like, it's very fresh. And I was like, relapse is a part of recovery. You should maybe kiss yourself.
Yeah.
Like with your family. I'm sorry to the boys at home. Maybe this is anti-male loneliness epidemic, but that does feel like a lot to put on us as, you know, clients.
Paying customers.
Our relationship is transactional. Yeah.
Like, let's keep it that way. Wait, what was the question? Oh, July show. Oh, in the medium. Okay, is a medium somebody who connects you to the dead?
The dead, yeah.
Right. I'm trying to think of dead who I would want to talk to. My grandfather, my dog.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I would be interested to know. I guess I would be interested to know about, like, I was close with my grandfather who passed, and he passed away before I came out as anything. So I would guess it, but I don't think he'd be surprised.
How did he pass?
Sickness, illness from, he was a lifelong smoker, so he
had mine too.
Yeah, so I think he got like a, I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it was some sort of like, not quite cancer, but something else that was like, yeah. But, you know.
We would love to have a medium on. I think that could really shake things up for us. If anyone knows a medium that they could refer,
yeah,
we would love to have them, or a psychic, or a hypnotist, really.
Yeah, a hypnotist would be interesting.
Love a hypnotist. Remember when I was sad?
I would be really nervous to go somewhere else.
Oh, like to another space?
Well, where do you go when you're hypnotized?
You mean mentally?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I feel about drugs.
Yeah.
Even mushrooms.
But like with drugs?
Even mushrooms. It's like the biggest one. I feel like that's like...
No, you're right though, because like...
This cocaine, is what, you're going to be here. Mushrooms, you're so...
Unfortunately, with cocaine, you're going to be here. Yes. And we've been around people who are very much here. But no, this is the thing about mushrooms that I think we're all getting wrong, is that like... Because I felt this too, that I was like, oh, it's like from the earth and it's fine. And it's like, don't fuck around with that stuff. Like,
I love the way you said it, like clickbait almost. But you were right. Like it ended up, it totally, like the cash checked.
Yeah. The check cashed. No, because like, I think I was like, oh, it's not acid and it's not like MDMA and it's not like something that's like a synthetic drug that was made in a lab. So I feel it was grown by a dear friend's mother even, that I felt like really like, oh, this will be fine. Obviously, everything you have to take in doses. Were you there when Jessie almost took way too much mushrooms?
No, that's scary.
She had this package. God love her. Jess, if you're listening, I love you.
Would you die?
You wouldn't die, I don't
think. You would just never be normal again?
I mean, that's a possibility with anything, I think. But the... But no, she had this package of mushrooms that she bought, and maybe we'll cut this and I'll just tell you, but then it had on there like that it was like, I don't even remember how many grams, and Jesse was like, no, they sold me this many grams, so it's definitely this many. I'm like, yeah, but the package says it's much more than that, so like maybe don't eat all of them. And she was like, no, but they're gonna, they told me they wouldn't sell me the wrong amount. And I'm like,
they wouldn't put the wrong amount on the package.
I was like, it is a sealed package. Yes, that's
you're
the amount.
You're telling me a Brooklyn drug dealer... I think who was tabling. I believe she bought it from a table.
For sure. I mean, because you can now buy mushrooms at like the table at any comedy show.
It literally, like. What's funny is that, okay, but we're really getting into it now, because what's so true is also, it's like, it's not going to be a store, but it's going to be a table.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of a, which is a store that can.
There's going to be a table and a Venmo QR code, and there's going to be tattoos and mushrooms, and it's going to be a comedy show.
A table is a store that can disappear at any time.
Yes.
It's kind of like a low risk store.
Yes.
Like we should start a table.
We should start a table.
If you're trying to like test a business, table, yeah. Get a table.
We could put a table in Bedford ever tomorrow.
We should table something.
What do we?
I don't know what we.
What
would
do we have to sell?
In college, I was always tabling, and you need to write a Vox article that is what we're getting wrong about mushrooms. I think people would go off.
Well, I am very much in favor of people safely using drugs as they desire to, safely and whatever. But the nice thing about mushrooms is they don't seem very addictive.
One time when I was on mushrooms 2 years ago, almost exactly to the day, I realized that I don't prioritize you. And I wrote it in my notes app.
What are you talking about?
It was 2 years ago.
Well, I feel like you prioritize me now.
I was in Fire Island and I was like, why don't I prioritize Nico? Why am I here with what some random guy? I don't even remember his name.
Yeah.
It was Mike. Sorry, don't even get it. Literally gave it. I don't care.
But maybe we'll look into getting somebody on here to bring us into another state of mind. I don't know.
Thank you for reaching out.
Thank you for reaching out, though. And go to Connor's show in July, since you asked.
Go to my show.
You better freaking be there.
My parents will be there unless I uninvite them. No, I think they'll be there. Your show at Littlefield in June 2023 was the very last comedy show I saw in NYC before moving back to my home country.
Wow.
Thank you for coming. It's crazy. We didn't even know who was in the room. It was a great show. I'm sad I left before you guys did your 1 hour specials, though. That's sweet to call them specials.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I love when someone's like, oh, they're doing a taping. And it's like, oh, thanks. No pressure, but are either of you considering putting your hour online? Love from a fan in Southeast Asia. You're my best friend.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming to the show. I'm so glad that we sent you out on a high note. And thank you for remembering a wonderful time you had with us at that show.
That's nice. I was really mean to my mom right after that show. So mean to her. It's like the rudest I ever was.
But he wouldn't have been mean to you, listener.
I would have been nice to you.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we both have hopes and dreams of putting our hours up at some point. And I hope that for both of us that those are on legitimate platforms, whether that be anywhere, YouTube included. I mean, people are doing YouTube specials and stuff. So I don't imagine that'll happen for me in the next 6 months, but maybe in the next year it'll be up at least on YouTube.
I'm very attracted to the idea of 30 minutes in terms of not an arc, like a thematic string.
Just a quickie.
Like I thought what Mary Beth Barone did, I was like, everything should be this long.
Yeah.
I was like, we're in, we're out. Mm-hmm. We're up or down. Let's go.
Yeah. Like she ran her half hour at the Bell House. I was lucky enough to open for that show. And she, I agree. It was like a very nice, like, because now she can not
Everyone
have burned all her
go
material.
Watch that. Yeah. It was really wonderful.
Check out Mary Beth, former guest of the pod, double guest of the pod. Check out her special, Thought Provoking. It's on YouTube. It's really good. A lot of comedians are putting stuff out on YouTube now, and that's really cool. And so, I don't know. I mean, I think we probably will eventually, but...
Brittany Carney, I love that horse.
Yes.
That's not what it's called.
My horse.
That's my horse. Is it that my horse? That's not my horse. She's so fucking funny.
Look up Brittany Carney. She's so funny. And Lisa Traeger, who we just had on the pod as a special coming out on Netflix. We saw that live. It was so fucking funny. Who else has specials out? A lot of people. So check those out.
Thank you for reaching out.
Thank you for reaching out. And thank you for being a fan from Southeast Asia. I always wonder when I look at the graph, who the fuck is listening to this in other countries? And you. So thank you
for doing this. I also, that was like the, what I don't appreciate about that is that I think I worked too hard on how I was going to look and not hard enough on what I was going to say. And that's the problem. And I think more people could take a note from what I just said. I was so tan, but we're all white.
I remember that.
It was like crazy.
It was giving pop star.
It was giving Pat Benatar. Like,
it was
too
much. It was, if you had purple shoes, it was giving Justin Bieber.
Crazy to dress that way.
No, it's okay. We live, we learn, we laugh, we love.
My dad, he's like I love him so much. He like has a little bit not of a filter and mm-hmm. doesn't know what's gonna break my heart.
Sure.
So I'll just say anything and it'll be like, that broke my heart. And if it's hard to tell,
yeah,
because where my mood is. And he was like, I just think with this next one you should really more not think about what you're gonna wear, because I think last time I thought too much about what you're gonna wear, and then it becomes the whole thing. And it, like, he actually said, you know what he said? He said, don't hire a photographer. I think you should just not hire a photographer. Sure. Kind of just show up. And, like, yeah. I think when you hire a photographer, you get too image obsessed. He's so sweet. He sees the best in me.
He really knows you.
Like, I could go totally bald and they wouldn't care.
Yeah.
They'd still love me.
You know, the good thing about parents is that's what they're really supposed to do.
Okay, 20 of 100. Okay, can Boys Club solve the male?
Oh, fuck. We keep... Sorry, the thing about a number
generator... Sorry, we didn't invent the number generator.
It's giving me the same numbers. Okay.
Oh, 13, my lucky number, because it's Taylor Swift's lucky number. Thoughts on Arkansas. We don't know where that is. I'm sorry, guys.
I haven't been to Arkansas. I know that it is the pants of the man in the middle on the map.
Only thing I know about Arkansas is
Razorbacks.
Is that a snake?
Razorbacks? No, they're the Arkansas is the University of Arkansas mascot.
Oh, it's going to be like, watch out. All I know is Raven Gates was on The Bachelor, and she was from Arkansas and was cool and had a nice accent.
Okay, so that's what we know about Arkansas.
I think Hillary Clinton was from Arkansas.
The Clintons were from Arkansas, that's right. Okay,
which we don't really have an opinion on.
So for better or for worse,
I actually think it's... I think she's objectively bad. I'm sorry, I take it out. I think that is one person that we're kind of like collectively like, no.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. I feel like I upset someone.
No, I mean, we kind of did a pass.
We're trying to get into millennial women.
It is upsetting, of course, that Trump beat Clinton, because that should have never happened. But also, like, I wish we had a better candidate than her. And I feel bad for her. I'm sure she just got worn down by the political machine. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Politicians can't live with them. Can't live without them, apparently. Okay. Next question.
That's the same number.
Okay, so let me generate the numbers again. Have we done this one? Okay, going from 13 to 22, that is very Taylor Swift to us.
Oh my God. That was beautiful. 22. This was a few episodes ago, but Nico mentioned being concerned that skills like wood carving and stuff would be lost to time. Sister, this person. I was wondering if you guys have been to a maker space or would consider going.
I don't even know what a maker space is. I'm gathering from the question that it's where you carve things.
I think we'd really fit in a makerspace.
Yeah.
Us with the visionaries. Oh my God. Last night I was walking home in the neighborhood that I live in, and I passed this place. There was a pottery studio, and there were two guys, one girl in there. Fucking. No, they weren't. But they were like laughing together. I literally Googled, like, how do I join this? Like, these could be my best friends. They looked like my best friends. Like,
okay. Well, okay. To solve the male loneliness crisis, get out to a makerspace and be a freaking man and start building something.
I know that could be really great.
It could be good.
I think it would be good for all of us to get a tactile.
I know. I hate skill. That they took away, like, in the wake of wanting people to all be, I don't know, I guess, like, get rid of sort of, like, gender stuff or whatever. They got rid of home ec and woodchop in, like, a lot of public schools.
In favor of biology. Can't follow it. Don't remember it. Was never important. That's the dumbest thing they make kids do.
Biology?
That's the opiate of the masses.
No, they have to have... You know, I agree in certain aspects. I feel like less of the... You know, I wish they would just, even with, like, high school and stuff, like, obviously, like, we do need to know a lot about a lot of things, but, like, home ec, how to do taxes, tires, fucking personal health. Personal
we
health.
We don't need to know about the pyramids.
Like, over biology, personal health. Right. I think ancient civilizations wouldn't do as much for us as, like, I don't know,
bro, U.S.
War.
History, we didn't even get to Reagan.
I know. And it's like, that's what's affecting us now. That's what we need to be learning
about.
And
then about. The question was about Reagan on the test. Yeah, AP. I did take AP. I got a 3.
I also got a 3.
Which is good.
Which is medium.
Which is, like, acceptable.
Yeah, it's, like, it's good. No, I've never been to a makerspace, but I'm now knowing what they are. I would definitely consider going.
Before I took it, my cousin was in the class who's getting married, and I said, what's Marbury versus Madison? And he just said judicial review, and then it was literally on the test, and one of the options was judicial review, and I still don't know what that even means, but that was...
I don't either.
But I remember it a good number of years later.
Judicial review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for your question. And again, we know that our listeners are smart because of the way that these questions are worded.
Okay, so the next question is, do another one.
Okay.
Thoughts on platonic versus romantic. I have a new thing to say about platonic versus romantic. Yeah, Pittsburgh pool.
Okay, did we do this one?
No. What was your niche interest or career aspiration as a child?
Do you have one?
A niche interest or... I was obsessed with Gilmore Girls. Is that annoying?
No.
The culture that made culture for me, which is just a thing that I'm going to start saying. And... on a podcast,
yeah.
Is that I'm obsessed with Gilmore Girls. Okay, I need to say this. I was going back and I was rewatching it, and I think it informs a lot of the way that my brain works, how I write and how I think, in that it's dialogue focused and wordy, and little words subvert the entire idea.
Yeah.
That's very Gilmore Girls. What I miss about shows like that is that it's kind of like you're just following this woman and her life and the town and this world. In a way that I don't think people would do anymore, because no one's getting murdered. Like, there's not a murder, and it's not hard comedy. But it's almost like a romantic comedy hour.
Yeah, in the way that Sex and the City maybe wouldn't work now.
Yeah,
like, I wonder if they would.
People need something more.
Not that it wouldn't work. I rail against the idea that anything would or wouldn't work. I don't think we can know that until it has worked. I think that's a real lesson you learn in stand-up, is like, you don't know if it works until you do it on stage and then you learn that it works. And I think a lot of industry people overthink that they can predict what will or won't work. And obviously they have their, like, things that they want to do and things that they hope work and this and that. But when it comes to, like, from a place of, like, what's gonna work and what's not gonna work, I don't think that's a successful way to look at any art, of course. You can't know that until it happens. And, but, like, something like Sex and the City that is sort of this hybrid half-hour thing.
Yeah.
That is a comedy, but it also does have its, like, more sappier romantic moments in the same way like Gilmore Girls maybe is. I don't know that they would make that anymore.
What's interesting, you know, both Gilmore Girls and Sex and the City, what it's kind of like, they're serialized, but I don't think people watch because the cliffhanger. People watch because it's a world they are
wanting to be in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In the way that Broad City was.
I feel like we just discovered something.
In the way that Broad City was. Like, I feel like Broad City, like, it was episodic. It wasn't, like, super serialized. Like, there's certain, like, little things with, like, her, like, the love interest and things like that. But it's not, like, overly, like, you're not like, oh, what's going to happen next week on Broad City? Like, you just want to be with those two.
One of them's going to die? No.
Yeah.
That's not this kind of show.
Right. You just, like, want to be spending time with those two. And I feel like that is what makes good TV sing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know?
That's something we have got to write down on an index card somewhere.
And get back to that, folks. Come on.
Should say that to important people on Zoom.
Yeah, we should. This is a world people want to be in. This is a world people want to be in. You know, actually, speaking of shows that are great, I just got my sister Liv onto, shout out Liv if you're listening, I got her into Girls.
Oh, that's nice.
Because she was looking for, like, New York shows while she's here this summer, and I was like, you have to watch Girls.
Wait. No, I forgot.
And she was like, Adam Driver's so crazy. I love him.
Do you think she'll move here?
I don't know. We'll see. I think she really liked Brooklyn. I'm bummed because I'm going to be out of town for the next month.
Was that the oldest person she ever met?
No, but...
She commented on how old I was.
She did?
No.
No, she didn't.
Oh, question mark.
No.
Interesting.
No.
She was the youngest person I ever met.
I know. She is young.
Does she want me to buy her beer?
She's 21, so she can
just
do that.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. Have we done this question?
So the next question is going to go ahead and be... Great pod. How often and how are you thinking about the idea of fame, your own and others?
Ah, I love this question. Thank you for the compliment and the question. All the time, I think we're thinking about fame all the time. It's hard not to when you're in this industry because that's kind of very much tied into the like upper end of this is people that are incredibly famous. But I also think that like for both of us, it comes up in our work a lot. In like a way that we're interested in like exploring the way that like people respond to fame or desire fame and like how that kind of gets rebounded back now into our everyday life. Like I think we all are in this post Instagram post, you know, putting yourself as a platform, putting yourself out there, even if you are a private account, like you are putting yourself out there at least for your friends. And if you're like engaging with social media at all, like you are engaging with like some aspect of fame and like how that manifests in small little niches of the internet and small little niches of your world and pockets of your life. And like I think we both really like to like write characters that are way overly invested in their idea of fame or overly invest or have an overly inflated sense of self in that way.
I think Jane Krakowski on 30 Rock right. was like a really important character, formative, fundamental,
yeah,
character,
foundational,
that's the word.
The three F's.
Formative, foundational,
WLW.
Fundamental. I think about her all the time.
Yeah,
like that was such a good character. What I loved about it, like it was not a referential character. All the jokes were funny because they were her.
Yeah,
she was funny. Her obsessions were funny. Her delusions were funny.
Right, and like this kind of lore of herself that she was sort of always building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, she had all those kids that were like that. All and one was John Early, and one was Helena York, I think.
Oh my God, no way.
And they like, she's like these random like hop blonde kids that then say you're too old and they like overpower her. But then there's one that was ugly that she discarded and then she actually becomes close to. I just love her.
Yeah. And so I think we're like, in terms of like the things we like to write about and think about, we are often talking about characters like that. And like, it feels like such an epidemic that we're in right now, like with like, you know, most politicians now consider themselves little, like I was just saying this the other day, like why is Lauren Boebert somebody we care about? Why is Marjorie Taylor Greene somebody we care about? They're such small, like Marjorie Taylor Greene is the representative from the 14th District of Georgia, which is my home state. And she, I looked it up the other day, like where her area is. And it's like north of Atlanta, like a very white suburban area with like people that would of course vote for her. We shouldn't know on a global level who she is. Like, we yeah. should not know that at all. She should have not that much to say. Like, we should not be paying attention to what the 14th district of any state has to fucking say about stuff. You should represent your district, and they should give a fuck about you, and that's kind of it. But because we live
I'm
in this...
82% sure that Lauren Boebert changed her district to get reelected, which should be illegal.
That's fucked.
That's like when
like
Dr.
some gerrymandering
Oz,
stuff?
Yes. That's
fuck
like when
that.
Dr. Oz, who ran for... leader of my state leader because I don't know which one it was leader of my state who goes to my gym in NoHo. No way.
Yeah, it's like okay, go and live in Pennsylvania.
Then my dad
them.
Would be able to go to my gym in NoHo. He can't because he lives in our home state.
Yeah,
like you should.
Yeah,
no, he did lose the election.
Mr. Janda for governor.
I could you imagine
be
what
nice
a nightmare
a
that would be. I know. At least I think he would delegate. He kind of knows what he doesn't know.
Yeah,
my feelings.
Yeah,
come to mind. Oh, like our intro. The last thing I'm gonna say about this. I think one way that fame shows up and that I don't always realize. So my cousin is 26, my brother is 26, and they are, so they're close to me in age, very much so. And they, when like they fought creators that we would know, when they comment on them, I think they see like their material.
Yeah.
And I think of them as a creator, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like they're like, oh, this thing is funny. And I'm like, oh, they're doing this and this and this. Like that's, if that makes, I don't know.
Yes. Yes. 100%. I think that's a prison of Instagram that happens to and TikTok. Like, I mean, cause I find that too. Like I know certain people on the internet for the one thing that I've seen them do and I haven't yeah. really engaged with anything else, but they obviously probably do. And they are more than that obviously as a person, but they, even in their work probably do more than that. But yeah, I think that like in terms of like my fame, in quotes, I don't have any desire to be like mega famous because I think that's a fucking prison. That would be
famous
horrible.
Famous a prison, and I can't wait to find out for real. I can't wait to confirm this.
Confirmed, it's a prison. No,
I said this too. I think it'd be hard to be the what we do, like creating and writing and being funny. I think fame would be at odds with that in many ways.
It would be really hard to do. Because I think you need some. I think to be truly funny, you have to have a window into real people, and I think you lose touch of that if you become too famous and too catered for. You just kind of lose touch what it means to be a person. Like, and
how would you run jokes?
Yeah, I mean, they do. I think, you know, like you become somebody who just like tours with an hour and it's from scratch, and you do like your local clubs and your local shows as like working it out, and you pouch the phones and all that good stuff. But I think it would be really cool to get to do the things that I want to do, which in this industry do come with some, you know, if they're successful, they'll come with some moniker of fame. I just hope that it's among queer and trans people and nice women. That's kind of who I'm hoping loves me.
We really just, we thank you to the women. Thank you so much to the
women.
And
parents of gay people seem to like me too.
P-Flag represent.
Yes, thank you, P-Flag.
Does my mom know about P-Flag?
I don't know.
I showed you what she posted, right?
Yes. She was being an ally.
I showed
her
how to do stories.
Don't love who you love and vote against them.
She uses her stories because I told her that to share my reels is the most helpful thing a person can do.
Yeah.
So she uses it to
share
my reels.
That's very cute.
So one of the shares is her.
Yeah. But I think we think about, I don't know. I mean, we know people who have and are getting famous that we are like friends with because they're stars. So, you know, we're watching it happen in real time.
Fame is interesting.
It is. And it changes people.
I hope
that it wouldn't change me. Okay, let's do... Has this one been done?
I don't think so. As queer white dudes, thanks. What are your thoughts on ever-increasing homogeneity? I'm so stupid, I'm sorry.
As homogeneity?
Wait, I'm going to start over.
Putting the homo in homogeneity.
You guys can't read. As queer white dudes,
what is Dr. Jill Biden doing about it?
Not, she's on her off one right now. I do want to join a gay book club. As queer white dudes, not read it, just go to it. As queer white dudes, what are your thoughts on the ever-increasing
homogeneity
of the queer white dude look? Answer seriously or sillily.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving us the option to answer as we please. The rest of you didn't.
White queer dude look.
Yeah. That's getting more and more homogeneous.
Are they calling us hot?
No, I think I think what, you know, we've already talked about this, that gay men are not even really that alt anymore.
They're fucked up. They're fucked up. And I'm telling you, if you don't vote like your lives depend on it, you're going to be alt really fast.
Yeah.
You're going to find yourselves alt.
You'll find yourselves alt in the labor camps. Okay. No, the, I'm trying to think of like the look. I mean, it's like,
do you need to go? Are you good on time?
No, we're good. If we can, we'll wrap up soon. We'll do like two more. I think that most guys, I'm trying to think of like the queer guy look. Like right now for the summer, it's like an open button, like a button down, maybe a tank.
It's Drew Anderson and George Severus are the hottest people that we know. And also I think gay, they're gay guys.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a very lovely way. I think they're extremely lovely.
I love
gorgeous.
Both of them.
Both of them are in relationships, which I think is fine. It's a weird thing to say. Take that. Don't cut it. I'll just take it back verbally.
Take it back.
And they, you're totally right.
Yeah.
The way they dress, I should actually go spend some time on their pages.
Yeah.
And try to replicate it.
Yeah.
I think they have a finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Maybe they are the pulse.
Maybe they are the pulse.
I think they're the thought leaders of my community.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like anything, as like, I don't know, as like queerness gets more, for better or for worse, you're getting a call.
I can't tell you why. So this morning I entered my information into a healthcare thing.
Oh, and now they don't stop calling you.
And then I say, take me off your list to everyone. I don't want health insurance.
You know what happened to me? This happened to me too.
Didn't your dad do this to you?
My dad tried to help by signing when I was leaving my parents' insurance because I turned 26. I was like trying to figure out what I was going to do about my healthcare, and I was talking to my dad about it, who is a healthcare professional. So I was like trying to get his advice on it, and he lovingly trying to help put my phone number down on something, and then I would not stop getting robocalls. So what I did when I did that, I put my phone permanently on Do Not Disturb, and I blocked everybody that called me, and eventually it just stops. But it will get...
Here's what I'm going to say to you. If your dad, a genius, can't figure it out, I think healthcare is too confusing.
It is too confusing. It is too confusing. It's like, why can't I just get an answer for how much it will cost me?
It's like, I anywhere want to on the give internet. You guys money. I want to go see a dermatologist to tell that, just so they can look at the weird marks on my skin.
Yeah.
Beautiful marks on my
beautiful
skin.
Beautiful skin marks. Beautiful.
It's the beautiful things that kill you. You know what I mean? I've always said that. But I just like physically can't.
Yeah.
I'm like, please just give me insurance.
Yeah.
For the love of God.
For the love of Christ. What was the question again?
As queer white dudes, what's it like?
Oh, I mean, as anything gets more and more popular and gets out to the masses,
I love the way you said that. It's because being gay is what you're talking about.
Well, I mean that in like the sense of like it's more accepted, so more people are
totally
being out and being gay in different parts of the world. Obviously, like that, it will just become more, unfortunately, like, you know, under the world of capitalism, it just becomes whatever they can sell us, and they want to sell us things in mass. Should we do one more question?
Which is hotter, rugby or hockey?
Great one to end on.
Rugby, because it's British.
Okay,
it's uncut.
I love that answer, because that's so true.
Rugby is cut. No, uncut. Rugby's uncut.
Rugby, I think I would go with rugby too, and I like that because it's a British. You know what's interesting about rugby in England, when I've recently found this out? Because obviously soccer is really popular there, and rugby's popular there, but apparently rugby is like the posh sport.
Why?
They played at like the posh private schools, and it's not as accessible. I don't know, but it's like that's so, it feels so counterintuitive, because like soccer is, I mean, it's the world's game, so it is like for everybody, but it's also like called the beautiful game, whereas rugby is a very rough sport.
Do they even wear cups? They're tearing scrotums left and right.
I know.
I think that's true.
And they're also like, they don't wear helmets, they don't really wear pads, and they're just like fucking each other up. I don't know.
Boys, you need to wear a helmet.
Always.
One time I dated this guy and he was a hypochondriac and always thought something bad was going to happen to him, but then he would bike without a helmet, and I was like, that's the worst thing. The likelihood of that being a problem for you is the highest.
Yeah. Wear a helmet. If you're biking, boys, wear a fucking helmet. It's not a joke. It's like wearing a seatbelt in a car. You just got to do it. You just got to do it. Because we want you to be in the kingdom of heaven when you're ready. Okay?
And we can't afford to lose listeners.
Let's be honest. We really can't. Well, that was our listener question episode.
Guys, we're so obsessed with you.
We're so obsessed with you.
If any of you ask something and it was like, if they don't answer this, then I'm going to let go, if you will. Jump.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, we'll do it again.
We'll do it again. We're going to do more. That link is on this episode.
If you're the barista, we think that's great, et cetera.
Yeah, we think you're great. Also, somebody said, when are we going to have Damien?
Someone said, any tips for dysphoria? I hope that person's okay.
Okay, wait. I'll answer that one really quick. My tip would be to find clothes
me
that...
Me being an ally, but then cutting you off. Sorry.
My tip would be to find clothes that you like, that fit you in the ways that you want them to, and that accentuate the parts of you that you are feeling comfortable in. And then don't be afraid, if you have the means, to buy a few of those shirts or a few of those pairs of pants. Like, I think it's smart to like find the cut that fits you. Also, don't be afraid to go to a tailor. I think that is like something I'm trying to remember to do more often with my t-shirts. Like, when my t-shirts don't fit me as I want them to, you know, getting those tailored to the right, like, sort of, so they don't, you know, they hit you right at the hips or wherever you want them to hit. Those are like things you can do. It's a beast, and it's hard to slay the dysphoria beast, because it is, you know, it's always with you in some degree. But, you know, I think like being kind to yourself and being accepting of the beautiful body that you have and the beautiful person that you are is all you can do. And, you know, to the best that you can and to the amount that you can afford, go to a thrift store and pick out some cheap stuff that maybe the t-shirts don't fit you right off the bat. And then if you like them, though, and like, go get them tailored and make sure that like if the arms and the neckline fit you in the way that you want them to, and like around your midsection it is getting like funky, go get it tailored, and then you might love that shirt. So that's my hack.
The last thing is, for the person in the Chicago comedy scene that says the guys are scary and can you just stay in the queer alt scene, the short answer is, yeah, that's fine. You can just stay in the queer alt scene. Honestly, yes.
What is the question? I guess we'll end on that.
Hey, boys, I'm starting to get my footing in the Chicago comedy scene, and I'm curious, how do you deal with the straight men? The few times I've done a mic with seemingly all cishet guys, the jokes, in quotes, are basically slurs and thinly veiled homophobia.
Yeah.
Is it okay that I've pretty much written off these spaces and stay in the queer/alt scene, or is there a way I can maintain my peace while not closing myself off to such a big demographic of the comedy world? That is funny to call the straight men such a big demographic of the comedy world.
Yeah, because they're fucking losers.
Fuck them. Literally fuck them. I think the word losers, what we and Donald Trump, the only thing we all have in common is that
we're calling people losers.
It's a little Trumpy, and it's like, fucking losers.
Fucking losers. I just saw hilarious. Do you know Adam Gilbert?
Yes.
He has a great joke. I'll send it to you. It's he was doing an impression of Trump talking about the Minions.
That's funny.
I just met this guy. He was maybe 2, 3, probably 4 feet tall. So funny.
That was a good impression too.
Thank you.
Working on it.
Anyway, the short answer to agree with Echo Connor, yes, you can totally, they try to make us feel like if you, and by they, I mean like big comedy and like those like straight men, dude, they try to make you feel like you have, like there's this old thing in comedy that's like, you have to be able to do any room. You have to, if you want to be great, you got to be able to do any room. You got to be able to get up all the time. And you know, there is something to be said about being able to do any room. And the reality is good jokes can do most rooms, you know, obviously like not any room. If you do stand up all the time, you're gonna bomb every once in a while. We've both bombed plenty, and we've also, but we've done well more than we've bombed. And I think that, you know, protect your peace. There's no need, especially don't do an open mic around those guys. Like if you get to the point, and I'm sure you will because you're one of our listeners and we love you, when you get to the point that you're doing shows that are a little bit more clubby or bro-y or whatever, like I will let myself do those. It's not always my favorite shows to do, but I find the audiences are fine. It's like more the green room hangs that are a little bit like, ugh, I don't want to talk to these guys.
You need to, comedy needs to be something that you can enjoy. It's kind of like, yes, where like you need to, not to make it about workout routines, fuck that, but like a workout routine that you'll do. And it's like comedy needs to be something that you, if you're having fun, if you have friends, if you are building community, and like if that's the queer alt scene for you, then like that's where you should be.
And if you're somebody that writes pretty standard jokes, those will be rare in the queer alt scene. No shade to the queer alt scene, but like, it is the alt scene, so like doing like straight up setup punch is not always what people are doing.
Wait, can we quote a Mary Beth Barone joke?
Sure.
She has a joke that's like about my advice to queer businesses is, I don't know, be open. Her advice to queer comedians, write a joke. We love you guys.
Love you guys. So yeah, I mean, to one of our boys in Chicago. Yeah, you'll be fine. Don't worry about that. Don't let anybody bully you into the, because here's the reality: those guys that are at that mic will be at that mic in 5 years, and you will probably be somewhere else because the queer alt scene is. I mean, think about the comedians that you love. Think about, and I can't speak for you, but like, I'm just trying to think about people like we really like and who are a little bit ahead of us. People like, you know, that have paved the way, like Bowen Yang, Matt Rogers, you know, those folks that are in like that kind of echelon. Like, I don't think they, I mean, I know that at some point they were, Julio Torres, I think, I'm sure at some point they found themselves in these horrible open mics. I think Sam Taggart was talking to us about that when he came on.
The grizzly pair. Sometimes you see the most of yourself in the dark.
Yeah, god damn. Yeah, the light shines brightest on you when you're in the dark. But the, you know, those folks, like, I'm sure they did have to pave their way to some degree in that space, but they also like found a lot of success doing a queer podcast and found a lot of success like being in the queer scenes and were able to like move through the, so like it's definitely, definitely possible. I would say if anything, and this is no knock on the Chicago scene, but like when you're ready, I think if you're like really wanting to pursue stand up, it's not the alt queer versus the straight. It's kind of more like if you really want to do stand up all the time, New York might be the place to be for you.
You have to move. Oh, great answer. I didn't know that was an option. You should move. Should fucking move. It's also like, this is Montessori versus normal. It's like, you know what, you need a place that's going to nurture your brain and your mind and your voice and your idiosyncrasy. Go queer.
And I also think, like, for me, like, you know, when I was doing material about being trans really early on in that, like, you know, I think I subjected myself to some spaces that were not as friendly as I needed to at the time. And if there's anything I would have done in hindsight, I think I would have let myself nurture that side of me instead of nurture or prop up my like stand up. You know what I'm saying? I think I pushed myself to be a stand up, and I've seen, you know, reward for that, but I also think like I didn't protect myself in the ways that I could have in the times I needed to. Because now I'm pretty confident in myself on both fronts as a performer and a comedian and also as a trans guy. Like I feel fine moving through the world as I am, but like there was a time where I was much more I would have been much more shaken up by some of the experiences that I had. And I wish I would have like protected myself from going to the Grizzly Pair at 2 p.m. on a Saturday.
Oh my god!
Because I didn't
$5
cash
only, no Cash App. Protect your peace. And I think as queer artists, queer writers, and queer models, what one thing that's important for us to do is make art that doesn't put your queer identity down, because we have enough of that. And I think in those straight spaces, they're very receptive to that. And then you think you're doing well because you're like wrote this funny thing about the word F, the F slur. Well, that was a hilarious joke that I had anyway, but I did write that. I wrote that in the Grizzly Pair. It was like, my dad was a fucking, that was a Grizzly Pair joke.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's good, but in general, it's like, go to a space that's going to like, I don't know, water you.
Yeah. Yeah. And let your, and like, yeah, like you'll reap what you sow, and you don't want to be one of those people who like ends up, yeah, like putting their own identity down for the sake of the wrong laughs. Like it doesn't feel good to be laughed at, You know, it doesn't feel good to be the butt of the joke. Like, you want to be the comedian that's running the show up there, not the person they're laughing at. Like, they're laughing with you, right? So I think, like, don't push yourself to be, like, you don't want to be in those spaces and then become that person who, like, is bending to whatever is, like, the mainstream. Like, because if I was writing jokes for the most mainstream audience about being trans, I'd probably be writing a lot of, like, jokes about myself or, like, putting myself down. And, like, that's not what I want to do. So
it's actually hard to do because you're all the losers.
Yeah.
You're the fucking losers.
Yeah.
What a reframe that would be.
And I can't emphasize enough how much that those straight men at those open mics who are doing thinly veiled homophobic jokes and slurs will be there in 5 years. They're not going to move
on. They don't even like Greta Thunberg.
Yeah.
She's pretty universally liked.
Yeah. She's just a climate activist.
This podcast, we respect her.
And Greta, come right out.
Greta, we'd love to have you anytime.
Well, boys, this has been our listener question in this episode.
Thank you for writing.
And I'm sorry to say that we are probably going to be taking a bit of a hiatus from the pod.
But not because we're fighting.
Not because we're fighting. We are both traveling in late July and August, so we're just not going to be in the same place. And you know us. We don't know how to do Zoom.
We're not doing that.
So we're not going to be recording again until we get back in the studio.
Every time I worked for RX Bar and they were like, we're getting sued, but we're going to fight in court because we're like, we're no BS here. And then a week later they were like, so actually we are going to settle. It's cheaper. And watch this go on Zoom.
We'll be on Zoom. We're like, actually it's cheaper. Yeah. So anyway, apologies that we don't have any new eps out for a little while, but we'll put some replays out there. And, what if we were able to do an episode that was just the parts we cut from every episode?
It would always be like, I'm 30. So as a 30-year-old, the thing with being 30, when I came out as 30.
Yes, literally, it would be just that. But anyway, so thank you for being patient with our hiatus, but we'll put some replays out. And
absence makes the heart grow fonder.
It does. And we'll miss y'all, and we'll miss each other, and we'll miss, and you know, go to Connor's Hour. I'm doing an hour in August. I'm doing a month, I think actually a month after you. I'm August 24th.
It'd be awkward if next time we do this, I'm engaged.
Things will have moved quickly if you are engaged by the next time we record.
Come love bomb me.
Okay, yes, Connor's hour is July 24th. My hour is August 24th. So those are two things that you can support us coming up. They're a month apart, which is cute. And we're grateful. Is there anything else to say?
Meow.
Meow. Love you guys. Love
Bye.
You. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.